The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. As we gathered last week to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, we join Christians through the centuries in this joyous proclamation and response. Although this is an ancient Easter greeting, it was not heard on the first Easter morning. The angels proclaimed, "Christ is risen." But the response of the women was decidedly not, "He is risen indeed." Only when the angels reminded them of what Jesus has said, when they repeated his teaching that on the third day he would rise, and showed the women the empty tomb, only then did they believe. Then they rushed to tell the apostles, "Christ is risen." But as with the women, the response of these closest of Jesus' followers was decidedly not, "He is risen indeed." In fact, as evening came, the 12, now only 11, and with Thomas out for the moment, just 10, were gathered together in fear behind locked doors. They worried that they might soon share their master's fate, that those who had killed the shepherd might now seek to slaughter his sheep as well. They had heard reports of the resurrection, but had not yet seen any proof. They were confused, unsettled, and feeling very vulnerable. And then, suddenly, without so much as a knock on the door or rapping on a shuttered window, Suddenly, Jesus was with them, in their midst. It's impossible for us to fully imagine what they must have had going through their minds. At the same time, they had to be overwhelmed with joy and confusion and relief and uncertainty. What would he think of them? They had abandoned him on Thursday evening, stayed away during his agony and death on Friday, and throughout this day had doubted the reports that had filtered through to them, explaining the empty tomb. In his presence, they couldn't have helped but realize how utterly foolish they had been, how devoid of faith, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Jesus had abundant reason to be disappointed with them, to take them to task, to give them what for. But that's not at all what he did. Not even one little bit. The one who had once said, "Let there be," and there was, now greets them in gracious and gentle words, "Peace be with you." "Peace be with you," he says. When he speaks, his words have power to accomplish what they say. What he says is what his frightened disciples receive. He came into their midst to calm their troubled spirits, to restore their wounded consciences, to replace doubt with belief, and sorrow with consolation. He came to give them peace, and he speaks it into them. How glad they were. How joyful to hear these words as he showed them his hands and his side. They saw it was their Lord. The marks of his wounds still present, though now badges of honor, evidence of his successful sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now they knew that it was indeed true. The reports were accurate. He had risen, just as he had said he would. And even though they had denied and abandoned him, he forgave them. He said to them, "Peace be with you." But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't settle for simply giving them peace. He continued on giving them also authority. He said to them, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Have you ever wondered how it is that a pastor can say, "As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins"? After all, the Jews were precisely right when they taught that God alone can forgive. So any mere man who claimed authority to forgive sins, they said, was committing blasphemy. And it's true. Nevertheless, here in our text, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, who had just suffered the full punishment earned by every sinner ever, who in his holy precious blood can therefore, Mark, paid in full on the bill of charges against your sins and mine, this Jesus delegates to those whom he has called and sent out authority. Authority to forgive sins. These words Jesus spoke to his disciples on the day he rose from the dead are the basis of Luther's teaching that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. One of our hymns wonderfully conveys the gracious significance of Jesus' words here in John 20. The words which absolution give are his, who died that we might live. The minister whom Christ has sent is but his humble instrument. When ministers lay on their hands, absolved by Christ, the sinner stands. He who by grace the word believes, the purchase of his blood receives. Thus on the evening of that first Easter, having by his death earned forgiveness for a whole world of sinners, Jesus provided a way in which that forgiveness could be conveyed and dispensed to repentant sinners, and a way in which the impenitent could be warned before it was too late. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Imagine how Thomas must have felt. He was still stuck in unbelief, stuck right where the others had been before the Lord had appeared, before Jesus had revealed to them the marks of the nails in his hands and the spear in his side. No doubt they had told Thomas about this. That's the simplest way to understand why Thomas said he'd need to touch and see himself before he would believe. And a week later, that's precisely what Jesus invited him to do. In case you missed it in the events of that Easter evening, you see it here a second time. Once again, Jesus comes in grace and love and gives his disciples peace. And note especially how Jesus addresses Thomas. Far from condemning him, Jesus makes a special effort to reach out to this soul still held fast in disbelief. He invites Thomas to do that on which he had insisted, to touch his hands and his side, to see that it is he. Stop disbelieving, Jesus urges. Believe. Jesus wanted Thomas also to experience his peace, to know that his Savior had risen just as he said. He did not desire Thomas perish for his refusal to believe the testimony of his fellow apostles, but that Thomas too would believe what they had said and would have life. That's the third thing, in addition to peace and authority to forgive, which the risen Lord bestowed on his disciples in that room. Peace, authority, life. These are the three gifts our risen Lord brought to his fearful and confused followers as he came to them after he had risen. They are the same gifts Jesus still gives and bestows in his church today. That, after all, is why he led the evangelist to write down the Gospels. For you. For your salvation. These things are written, John writes, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. As he came to his disciples to turn them from fear and doubt to confident faith, so he comes to you still today in his word and in the sacrament, showing you the evidence that he was crucified for you, and blessing you to know just as surely that he is risen. He is here with us this morning, just as he has promised, where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I among them. As he acts in and through his word spoken with his authority, saying, I forgive you all your sins, he is giving you peace. When you hear these words, used as he directed, this declaration is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. And he does deal with us himself. By his words in your ears, by his body and blood in your mouth and flowing down your throat, with the bread and the wine, in order to assure you of his love, and in order to strengthen you in faith to life everlasting. What a wonderful thing it is to see how Jesus deals with weak, doubting, and fearful disciples, graciously and lovingly binding up the broken reed and straightening the flickering wick, as he wanted them, even absent Thomas, to know peace in his love, to experience the certainty of sin forgiven, and to receive his gift of eternal life. So he wants this also for you. That's why he's here. That's why he wants you here, to give you peace through forgiveness and life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.